I come with one thought in mind, and that is to please God. As I have said so many times, I don't have anything planned. There's not anything at all planned in my heart nor in my mind. I don't have any scripture marked. I do not know where I'm going to open my Bible to. I do not try to open my Bible to any certain thing. I come up here, and what the Lord gives me, that's what I minister to you. Years ago, many years ago, I did not do that. I tried every way I knew to plan, to preach, but I found out it didn't work. I found out that when I got up here, all I ever did was have a problem. So I determined in my heart, as I've said so many times, that since it was God that was going to do the talking, then it should be God that should decide where he wanted to read and what he wanted to talk about. And it has worked out beautifully. It has worked out perfectly. You say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think it will work. Well, perhaps it would not work for you, and I wouldn't advise you to do that. But it works real good for me. You know, Jesus said, according to your faith, and this is my faith, this is the way I believe it. So it works for me because it is my faith. Whereas you might not believe it, therefore would not work for you. I believe that we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there is certainly nothing wrong with the minister studying the word of God. He should by all means spend his life in study. And if he wants to mark his scripture or know where he's going to or what he's going to say, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And coming behind the sacred desk, that's wonderful. To group together things that make sense to the audience. But I found my ministry to be a little bit different. Everybody has their own ministry. God has given it to them according to the way that he wants them to function. And my ministry has been to talk about spiritual things. Therefore, it doesn't matter how I coordinate the scriptures. It doesn't matter how that I group them together. All I find is that everything gets in my way when I try to follow the outline, because I find that in trying to do that, I stay within my natural reasoning. And as long as I'm in my natural reasoning, I'm stumbling and staggering and trying to get things lined up, and I'm forgetting what I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to make it fit together, and it just don't work for me. And I'm always out of the anointing. But when I come up here and I take what God gives me, and I follow the inspiration of the Spirit, and I go by what God tells me, then I find that it works real good, because it all just flows together like milk and honey. You ever took honey and put it in milk and stirred it up? It all just works right in together. And taste is real good. So then tonight, let's read just a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Many times the Lord will tell me what I'm going to preach on and what he intends for me to have, and when I come up here, I open my Bible, and it opens right to what he has told me that we're going to minister on. But tonight, I want to read from chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the 33rd verse, be not deceived, evil communication. It's corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Tonight, I'd love to take just a few minutes of your time and dwell on the thought, the knowledge of God. You know, Solomon was a great and a mighty man. Solomon had great and mighty knowledge. He had such great wisdom that never before had any man understood the things that Solomon had or understood. Solomon said that if we search, that we would find the knowledge of God. Whereas the Bible uses the terms that men are ever learning, ever searching, and they never come to the knowledge of the truth or the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It is the knowledge of truth. And what is the knowledge of truth? It is the knowledge of God. Therefore, we are searching and we are looking for one thing, and that is the knowledge of God. Isn't that right? Why do we want the knowledge of God? Because in having the knowledge of God, we have the power to translate ourselves by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God. But brother, without the knowledge of God, I can promise you, I can assure you, that no person will ever be translated into the kingdom of God. You must have the knowledge of God to be translated into the kingdom of God. You must have the knowledge of God to be able to escape the terrors of this life and to be able to have the things that God hath prepared for those that are going to live eternally. So then, without the knowledge of God, where are we? Without the knowledge of God, we do not have faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the knowledge of God. Therefore, there is no faith without the knowledge of God. Men cannot be translated except by faith. And faith cannot be in the hearts of mankind unless there is a knowledge of God. That's why the Bible said, without a preacher, they'll not be able to hear. That's why the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, because the minister is sent to tutor the people and teach them the knowledge of God. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the knowledge of God, glad tidings of great joy. Why is it glad tidings of great joy? Because the knowledge of God is great tidings. The knowledge of God are words of life. Jesus, as he carried these great tidings, he would tell the people. He would say, my words are spirit, and my words are life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he is passed from death unto life. Therefore, the knowledge of God is so wonderful. And when someone comes preaching and teaching the knowledge of God, it is such a wonderful experience. It is such a wonderful hour, such a wonderful moment when they come forth with the knowledge of God. I guess one of the most disgusting, one of the most discouraging things that I know of in the sight of God is for everyone that comes along to jump up and feel that they're called to the ministry and to get into the behind the sacred desk and climb into the pulpits, as we say, and say that they're ministers. I think that's one of the most disgusting things that's ever happened to the ministry. Why is that? Because they do not have the knowledge of God. Everybody, men, women, boys, girls, anybody that wants a meal ticket, they decide they want to be in the ministry. They decide they're called to the ministry. Anyone that doesn't want anybody else to tell them what to do or how to live, they decide that they are a minister and that they are an authority on the Word of God. And so then they start thinking their own thoughts, doing their own thing. That is a disgusting thing in the sight of God. I found, as a matter of fact, that every true minister of Christ is a good listener. Every person that God ever called to the ministry wants to hear the word. Very carefully they want to hear it. And they're very good listeners. They're the best listeners in the world. They're the best followers. They are the best people to honor, to reverence, to obey, and to follow after the true tutorings of Christ. Better than anybody else in the earth, because they are the examples. But I made the statement the other day. You take a person that's going to be a doctor. Couldn't you just visualize in your mind that this person that's going to be a doctor, all of a sudden, they say, I have decided in life that I am a doctor. My calling is to be a doctor. Therefore, they get them a butcher knife and they say, send me my first patient. Can't you just imagine somebody that says, I am a physician. Send me my first patient. And they get them a whole sack of pills and they're going to give it to the people as they feel they ought to have it. You say, but Brother Pike, that's absurd. Not near as absurd as it is for somebody to jump up and deal with a human soul, to jump up and say, I'm called to the ministry, and start trying to tell people how to be born again and try to tutor people and try to direct people's lives. It's not near as foolish, my brother, my sister. Couldn't you just imagine somebody going up here to one of these great corporations, not knowing anything at all about the firm, and saying, I've decided I'm an overseer. I'm looking for a job. They haven't had any training. They don't care about training, but they're ready to take over. Couldn't you imagine a man that knew nothing about the law, knew nothing about the government, knew nothing about politics? He just springs up somewhere over here in the White House and he says, I've decided to be president. Couldn't you just imagine having a president such as that? Oh, my brother, my sister, how disgusting in the sight of God it is for men to take upon themselves the call of the priesthood, where the Bible said, and this is the priesthood I've set before you, even the ministers of Christ. Therefore, they take it upon themselves that they're going to be the ministry, and the same bunch of novice that they don't want to listen to anything that you say. They don't want to be tutored. They don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to sit under anyone's ministry. They don't want anybody telling them anything. They say, I've got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will tell me what I ought to do. Well, brother, I've got glad tidings of great joy. The Holy Ghost is telling you what to do, and the first thing the Holy Ghost tells you what to do is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and study to show yourself approved, that you might find the knowledge of God. And the thing it tells you to do is not to go into the ministry as being a novice, but rather wait upon your ministry. The Holy Ghost can only tell you or bring to your remembrance whatsoever things God has taught you. And when the ministry is preaching or teaching, that is the Holy Ghost that is tutoring. That is the Holy Ghost that is teaching. And whatever may come to your mind, beloved friend, is what the Holy Ghost brings to your mind out of the tutoring of the fivefold ministry. Has God set a fivefold ministry in the church today when it's not needed? Has God put a fivefold ministry in the church today when there's no need to listen at it? When God said, I've set a fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints of God, has God done this thing when it's not needed in the church? Has God placed it there when it was just foolishness? I tell you that what we need is the knowledge of God. He said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. You know, God spoke to me a few days ago, and he told me, he said, there's going to be a great wave of healing that's going to break out. All over the nation, he said, it's going to break out. All over the world, it's going to break out, even as it was in the early times. Why will it break out? Because God is going to do something. Going to be a day of jubilance, a day of joy, a day of inspiration. Why will God let it break out? To restore the joy and health of the church. God is going to do it. How will it come about? People will begin to receive the knowledge of God. There is a group of people in the earth today that's going to break loose from their foolishness. They're going to get loose from their worldliness. They're going to turn loose from those things that are perverting them out in the world. And they're going to get the knowledge of God. And they're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And the hearts of those people are going to be filled with faith. And as that faith begins to rise up in their hearts, brothers and sisters, that's going to cause great healings and great miracles, great deliverance. And things are going to begin to take place. And a fountain's going to be open in the house of David. And God's going to glorify the bride of Christ as he translates her and takes her out of this world. What is it? It's the moving of the Spirit. It's the great hand of God. The Lord is moving by Spirit. Why? So that he can bring the knowledge of God. So he can give you the knowledge of God. So that he can give me the knowledge of God. God doesn't want this group of people that's going from pillar to post, from town to town and state to state and country to country, crying out that they're in the ministry when they do not know God's word and when they do not have the knowledge of God, taking up offerings from people, hundreds and thousands of dollars, just to be able to travel from coast to coast and from country to country, just to get over into countries as missionaries and whatever. And when they get there, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what to offer the people. They don't know how to talk to the people. They don't have anything for the people. God is tired of all of that foolishness. every leech, everything in the entire country has come to leech upon the people of God. But beloved friend, God is going to bring forth the true ministry, and God is going to bring forth the true people of God. You say, Brother Pike, how can I know the true people of God? The true people of God are going to be recognized by one thing. You say, what is that? The Bible said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Men are going to bear fruits of holiness. And the Bible said, ye shall have your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof everlasting life. If you do not have fruits unto holiness, ye will not have the end thereof everlasting life. Paul said that if you keep in memory the things that I have taught you, he said, then ye have not believed in vain. But he said, if you do not keep in your memory the things that I have taught you, then have you believed in vain. Therefore, you must keep in memory the things that God has taught you. You can't just say that I'm a Christian and never fast. You can't just say I'm a Christian and never pray. You can't just say that I'm a Christian and never have any self-denial. You can't just say that I'm a Christian and never try to leave off with gossip. You can't just say that I'm a Christian and never leave off with backbiting in the things of this world. You can't just say that I'm a Christian and still go out yonder and have your mind on the things of this world, having loved this present world. You can't say that I am a Christian and go out there having your mind on sports, having your mind on the field of entertainment, having your mind on businesses, having your mind on making money, having your mind on the frolics of this world. You can't do that. God will not tolerate those kind of things. You cannot do it and be a Christian. Therefore, you must have fruits unto holiness. You say, Brother Pike, what is fruits unto holiness? The Bible says that God is the Spirit of holiness. Therefore, fruits unto holiness is what? The attributes of God within you. It is God. It is your cup running over. After that you've been filled with the Spirit of God. Once you're filled with God's Spirit, then from within you comes the wonderful attributes of Christ. You cannot go out into the world and do the things of the world and still have a life of holiness. There is no way that you can do it. The Bible teaches that the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Therefore, the flesh being contrary to the Spirit. And the Bible said, one being contrary to another, that if we give ourselves to the flesh and we walk after the flesh, the Bible said that we shall die because we have done this. But if I walk in the Spirit, then I shall not die. If I believe in the Spirit, I shall not die. If I give myself to the Spirit, I shall not die. For if I walk in the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the desire of my human being. I shall not fulfill the desire of my human body. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the light as He is in the light. Having fellowship one with another. And the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse us from all sin. And I think about the promise of God that we can pass from death unto life. We don't have to die, that there is a generation that is not going to die, but there is a generation that's going to receive the knowledge of God, that there is a generation that's going to come into the things of God. This thrills my heart. Every time I think about the things of God and I think about the knowledge of God, I say, oh God, to think that we are the generation that has the opportunity to receive the wonderful enlightenment of the Scriptures. And Thy Word, O God, being light, Thy Word being understanding. And Thou hast given us the Word of God. Thou hast given us the words of life. Thou hast given us the words of understanding. And I say, O God, as I hear the words of life, my heart is thrilled to know that I don't have to die. To know that I have the opportunity to bypass the grave, and to know that I have the opportunity, as Enoch did, to believe on God and be translated and be taken out of this world without having to go into a grave. What a wonderful opportunity. You know, this is one thing that should thrill our hearts. This is one thing that we should lay hold on. The Bible tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. One thing that we should take heed to. The Bible says that death came by man. We should remember that. We should catalog that. That should be in our heart and in our minds to stay. That death did not come by God. God is not the instigator of death. Death did not originate coming from God. Death is not part of what God did. The Bible says that death came by man. You know, we like to look around and feel sorry for ourselves. And we love to see ourselves in the predicament that we're in. And we love to say, God, we know that you understand if we don't do right. Because after all, you're the one that put us down here. And you're the one that's killing us all. And we can't do anything about it. God, we love you. We know that you're a great God. And we know that you're a good God. You know, that don't fit together, does it? Does that fit together? You hear ministers get up behind the sacred desk, and they've got congregations all over the world, and they'll get up behind the sacred desk and they'll say, God loves you, and God is for you, and God wants to bless you. And oh, dear children of God, God loves you. And then they get around to it that you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die. And you say, well, why must I die? Well, they don't know why. All they could say is that God is going to kill you. He loves you, but he's going to kill you. That don't fit together, does it? If God loves me so much, why does God want to kill me? If God loves me so much, why does he delight in having my funeral? If God loves me so much, why does he want to see all my children dead and in a grave? My mother, my daddy, my friends, that which is dear to me. Why does God want to see me grieve and cry and see all of that which is dear to me placed within a dark, deep hole? It don't fit together when you say God is love. The real true answer to it all is this. God did not give death to begin with. Death did not come from God. Oh, if we ever get a hold of that, that death is the enemy of God, and that God is looking to you and I to overcome death. That death came by man. Man is the cause of death. And death came by man, and God had nothing to do with death. God gave man life. God put man in the garden. God gave man everything. God did not put death before man. God only warned him that death was present. Not in any way was man subject to death. The Bible points out that he was not subject to death in any way. Not in any way. He had power over the beast of the field. He was ruler over the beast of the field. He was the one that dressed the garden. He was not subject to death in any manner. God warned him. Not only did God set death apart from him, but God warned him of death. Therefore, God had nothing to do with death. Death came by man. Therefore, we wait for God to conquer death. Why is it that we wait for God to conquer death when God did not instigate death? Why is it that we wait for God to conquer death when God did not send death into the world? Why is it that we wait on God to do these things when God isn't the one that sent death? Why should we blame God with death? You know where the problem is? Paul said, I speak this to your shame because ye have not the knowledge of God. Ye have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. I would not have you ignorant, he said. I would not have you ignorant Why is it that we don't have the knowledge of God, people? Why is it? Because we don't give ourselves to the understanding of Christ. We don't give ourselves to study. We don't give ourselves to the research of the Word. We're too busy eating and too busy drinking and too busy buying and too busy traveling and too busy lusting and too busy desiring and too busy wanting to go here and there in the frolics of the world. That's why that we don't have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame that you have not the knowledge of God. Where the writer said, keep searching and you will find the knowledge of God. And what will the knowledge of God do? Paul points it out here. In the same teaching in Corinthians, he tells us that if we come to the knowledge of God, that this great, wonderful knowledge of God will deliver us from death. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe just the knowledge could do that. I certainly do. I believe that if the tree of knowledge brought death, that there is a tree of God knowledge that can eradicate death. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I believe that if there was an understanding that got in the hearts and minds of man that caused him to fall into the dark shadows of life and become the prey of every evil spirit, that there is also a knowledge that is superior and a power that can restore him to the same lofty position from whence he fell. The Bible said, and death came by man, even so came the resurrection. Who was the one that taught this? None other than Paul the Apostle. How was it that Paul could preach that death came by man, and even so, life and the resurrection comes by man? How is it that he could do it? Because he was the one that had the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how it was. Paul said, Christ being revealed within me. You know, there's one thing that we need to get a hold of, and that is whatever we do in life, that's what we accomplish. A lot of people will wait, and a lot of people will look, and a lot of people will plan. And a lot of people will say, well, someday I'm going to do great things. But as a consequence of that, they never do it. The other man, he's just doing whatever he finds to do. He's doing whatever he can do. As a result of that, all of a sudden, there is something that comes into view. There is something that comes into focus. When that same man looks back, what is it that he has accomplished through life? Exactly what he hath done. There is no more than what he hath done. How is it that a man is a doctor? Because he puts forth his best effort to study, to develop, to become a doctor. How is it that a man is a businessman? He puts forth his daily efforts to understand and applies himself in that field of activity. How is it that a man is successful in anything else? How could you ever build a house except by going out, taking a hammer and a saw, going out, digging the foundation? Oh, my brother and sister, we can let days go by, we can let months go by, we can let years go by. But after a while, we're going to come to the realization that all we ever accomplished in life is what we put forth an effort to do. Whatever we put forth a sincere effort to do, that's going to be to our benefit. Whatever we put forth a sincere effort to do, that's what we're going to be rewarded with through life. And that's what God's going to reward us for on the other side. We can sit down for 10 years, but as long as we sit down for 10 years, that's just how long that we don't do anything. But everything that we get up to do, the Bible said, wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. If you lay claim on it, he said, I'll give it to you. If you'll utilize your faith and ability and strength in God, I'll give it to you. If you'll go forth and possess the land, I'll be with you and I'll give it to you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. What an inspiration to know that God is with us and that we have the strength of a unicorn, that we have the ability of Christ. We have the perseverance and the drive, and all we've got to do is get out there and do it. My brother, let me encourage you to do it. It's the same way with death. If you're going to overcome death, you better get started. If you just sit around after a while, death is going to overcome you. Jesus overcame death. Why did he overcome death when no other man overcome death? You know why he did it? He set out to conquer death. He set out to overcome death. No other man ever did it. No other man ever set out to conquer death except Enoch. And he did it. And he did it. No other one but Jesus ever stood and defied death and set out to conquer death but Jesus. Jesus set out to conquer death. He conquered death. And oh, my brother, my sister, if we set out to conquer death, we can conquer death. If we put forth our best foot, as we say, forward in God, having a drive to go forward in Christ, determined to receive God's word and to stand upon it, we'll conquer the foe of this world. We'll conquer our enemies, and if our ways please God, God will make our enemies to be at peace with us. Hallelujah. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me shall never come into condemnation. But he has passed from death unto life. You believe that? Death didn't come by God. It came by man. Even so came the resurrection by man. And this commandment I have of my Father, that I can lay my life down, I can take my life up. Do you have a commandment of the Father like that? You say, Brother Pike, Jesus was the only one the Father ever gave such a commandment to. I want to testify in the behalf of God tonight. And as the Bible said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, I want to testify of the sword and of Brother Pike. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a commandment of my Father. God has given me this commandment that I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take up my life. Every true believer, every true son of God. And the Bible said, to as many as believe, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And the Bible also says that death, even the second death, shall have no power over them. For they have passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. Not even sleep, whereas Lazarus slept. But Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Not even sleep. All of us, not all of us shall sleep. Some of us shall not sleep. What a wonderful thought. I wish we had time to preach tonight. I thank you for your patience tonight. I appreciate your patience tonight. And I wish we really had time to preach tonight. It would be so wonderful just to be able to take time and preach tonight. I want you to stand with me. I wonder tonight how many of you are really interested in the knowledge of God. I wonder. You know, we talk about miracles. And we say we like to see miracles. We want miracles. And by all means, we should have healings and miracles. The more and the more. But you know, a miracle is something that you can be partakers of in your body. It can physically help you. We've had many kind of miracles in our lives. You can have financial miracles, many kind of miracles, deliverance from evil spirits, many things, healings, whatever. But you know, none of that is to be compared to the knowledge of God. All of that is something we see. All of that is something that we're partakers of. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Through the churches, this has been down through the years that these signs have followed the believers according to the Bible. But beloved friend, there's one thing that we need, and that is the knowledge of God. A miracle, and then it's gone. It will inspire your faith. It will inspire you. And then that's it. That's it. But the knowledge of God, as the Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures and expounded the scriptures, by the way, as he opened our hearts? As he unveiled those things, did not our hearts burn within us? The knowledge of God. That is to find the knowledge of God. to be able to be translated into the kingdom of God. The knowledge of God, which affords us the faith, that we might correct the disorders of this world, that we might overcome the prince of the powers of the air that's out here, that's binding the crippled, that's afflicting those that are in need, that we might overcome Satan, who is the ruler over the atomic particles of which our body is composed, until he will have to turn them loose, until we have the knowledge of God that will give us the faith to correct and set in order everything to the restoration of missing limbs and the correction of all disorders of this man that's made out of the dust and the elements of the earth. The knowledge of God that will bring us to be one with the glory of the Almighty God and transformate our minds and transfigure our bodies and translate our spirits into the great world of spirit, that we might be one with the great eternal spirit. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thing. The knowledge of God. You know, I hear your spirit talking, and I hear the things that your spirit say, and I hear your reasoning, and I hear you as you accredit to yourself your intelligence and your great ability to look beyond what I have said. And I think, how poor it is. No wonder you are in bondage. It is no wonder that you see as you see and think as you think. It is all because you're so sure of that you're not really sure of and that you don't understand. But as long as man is in that condition, he'll always fail to find the glory of God and the knowledge of God. And when we think we know something, we don't know something as we ought to know. There are so many things that could be told you. There are so many things that could be shown you. There are so many things that would open your mind and you would find yourself saying, "My God, I was so sure. I was so sure. But my God, how could I have been such a fool when I thought I was so sure?" But oh, beloved brother, it's true. It's true. We need the knowledge of God. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing this little chorus. There's room at the cross for you. Can we sing it? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again, will you? There is room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. There's still room tonight. Millions have come, but there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you tonight. If you've never repented of your sins, never given God a chance at your life, there's room at the cross for you tonight. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep, Jesus. Sweep over my soul. It is complete. While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it again. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. When he reached down his hand for me, when he reached away down for me, I was lost, I was undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus? When He reached down His hand for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God and His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, it is so wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, beloved friend, if you're not a Christian, you've missed the most beautiful, the most lovely thing that has ever been given to mankind. It is so wonderful to be a Christian. It is so wonderful to feel the favor of God and to feel His lovely presence, and to know that God is smiling upon you, and to know that through the shed blood of Jesus, that God is pleased with you. It is so wonderful to be a Christian. If you've never given your heart to God, sincerely surrendered your heart to God, let me invite you to do it tonight. Let me invite you to do it tonight. Let me invite you to surrender your heart to God. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me invite you to call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Let me invite you to call upon the name of the Lord. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, let me invite you to call upon the name of the Lord. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel that this is my hour, or I don't feel that this is my time. But the Bible teaches that today is the day of salvation. And the Bible tells us that now is the accepted time. And the Bible also says, the bride saith come. The bridegroom is saying come. And the Bible said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. You that are sons and daughters of God, in this hour, you can't begin to imagine what a great moment it really is. You can't begin to imagine what a great opportunity it is. This is the greatest moment ever. Oh, if we only had time to preach to you tonight, to tell you about your benefits, to tell you about your benefits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Oh, hallelujah. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the wonderful presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, as Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? What a wonderful thrill. What a wonderful moment. Just think tonight that you're the sons of God. Oh, now, beloved, you're the sons of God. Don't that make you feel wonderful? Don't that make you feel wonderful? To know that you are a son of a king. You know, tonight, wouldn't it be wonderful just to know that you were here at Little Bethlehem? If your father tonight was a great king in a great country, wouldn't you feel like something tonight? But oh, beloved friend, our Father is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we're His daughters and His sons tonight. We're His children, hallelujah. We're the sons of the living God tonight. Oh, somebody would say, I wish that I could believe that, Brother Pike. I wish that you could believe that too. I wish that you could believe that too, because I believe that tonight. I'm a son of God tonight. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like, but we know that when He appeareth, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. To know that we're like Jesus. Brother Taylor sings that song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I alone, to be like Him. Hallelujah. The song we sang, one day a stranger came down from glory. He made me so glad when I believed. So glad when I believed. All you've got to do is believe. He'll make you so glad. So glad. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is speaking to us. The bride saith come. The Spirit saith come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Cantrell sang the song last night, there is a river. Hallelujah, there is a river. And out of your innermost being shall flow that river. For the deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God. When you hear those words fitly spoken, they're like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Uramanda Rianda Rabo Shida Barianda Ramanda Rabo Saya Ilamanda Lianda Labolo Shita Rianda Rabo Sanda Rianda Ramo Sanda Ramo Shanda Ramo Sai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful. The Bible said unto them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, great light is sprang up unto them. For it shall come to pass that there shall be light in the evening time. For the day spring himself, the day spring from on high hath visited thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So sweet. So sweet. Sweet, wonderful Jesus. In your wonderful billows of love. Can we sing it? Oh, it's peace, peace. What a wonderful peace coming down from my Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In your fathomless billows of love. Sing it again. For it's peace. Oh, it's peace. What a wonderful peace coming down from my Father.